God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Lord, I need Your help. I need Your helping hand. Without You, I know I can't stand. I need Your word renewed in me day by day, so that I can always make my stand. With Your helping hand, it's Your hands that guide me, right there beside me. Oh Lord, what would I do without You? Though You test and try me, on my knees I'll find Thee. For You, the King of Kings, has redeemed me. Fix my eyes on the rugged cross, counting all other things as loss. Dying to myself, living for Christ, it really is no great sacrifice. It's Your hands that guide me, right there beside me. Oh Lord, what would I do without You? Though You test and try me, on my knees I'll find Thee. For You, the King of Kings, has redeemed me. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and ground thy good with from sea to shining sea. Lord, we need Your help. We need Your helping hand. Without You, I know we can't stand. Renewed in us day by day, so that we can always make our stand. With Your helping hand, it's Your hands that guide me, right there beside me. Oh Lord, what would we do without You? Though You test and try us, on our knees we'll find You. For You, the King of Kings, has redeemed us.
Okay, Lawrence. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 2, as we look this morning at Joseph's new family. I'll make a couple of references from time to time to our nation and think about when our founding fathers were starting a new nation, and here is Joseph with a new family. Last week we looked at chapter 1 and we talked about Joseph, his character, his calling, and his conduct. Today, as we look now that he has a new family, being married and having, of course, Jesus was not his child, but he was the stepfather, we're going to look at chapter 2 at the adoration of the wise men, then the attempt from the enemy, the appearance of the angel to Joseph, the anger of Herod, and the arrangements of God. Aren't you glad that God makes arrangements? God is in control. And as we look at the life of Joseph and we see the attempts there to destroy the Christ child, and we see our nation and attempts to destroy our nation, whether from without or within, aren't you glad that God is in control? God is sovereign, and we can trust Him. We'll see that through this story this morning and also for our nation. First of all, let's look at the adoration of the wise men. You know the Christmas story, how they come to worship Him. And this is their purpose. They're coming this way to worship. This word worship that we read in verse 2, that they want to see Christ. They know about Him, they've heard about Him, and they want to worship Him. And the word worship is a word that means to kiss toward. And the Oriental custom was the higher the position. Of course, if they were superior, they would kiss the lips, or they would kiss the cheek, or they would kiss the feet there as well. And they're coming here to worship Him as King. And is that how we worship Him? They said in verse 2, where is he that is born King of the Jews, one who rules? And we do serve a king. God is our king. He is sovereign. And we need to make sure that our lives, since we are subjected to him, that we willingly place ourselves under the rulership of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It tells us in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Everybody was troubled, but not the wise men there. They were coming to worship Christ the king. And so they asked the question, where was he to be born? And in verse 4, when the king had, Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born, and they knew the answer. The answer was not here in Jerusalem. You come to Jerusalem, but the scribes and the Pharisees, they knew their Bible. They knew the answer. The knowledge was there. They said and quoted Micah chapter 5, they said that in Bethlehem, 6 miles from here. Now, 6 miles is not that far. Even back in those days, it wasn't that far. Probably could do 6 miles, maybe 3 hours, less than that if you really, 2 hours, depending on your health and other things, maybe age or whatever. But 6 miles is not that far. And here they were, intelligent. They had the answer. They knew the Bible, but having Bible knowledge, being able to win at Bible trivia, is not enough. It's not enough for us just to have that head knowledge, but here they were with the intelligence, knowing the Scripture, but they were indifferent to it. They had no desire. They didn't go to see. The King of Kings was born not far from here. Man, let's go. Let's see what the Lord is doing. But all knew who he was. Herod knew who he was. He tried to kill him. The scribes, they knew who he was, but they were just indifferent to it. The wise men knew who he was, and they had come to worship him. And Jesus said there's no neutral ground. We're either going to accept him as king or we're not. If you're not for me, Jesus said, you're against me. And we certainly see that with Herod there. And some people today are really agitated like Herod was, and even indifferent like the scribes and the priest were here, whenever we want to worship Christ as King of Kings, the King of Righteousness, the King of Holiness, and we want to proclaim holiness in our nation, and we take a stand for what's right, there are going to be people like Herod who are going to hate us and be against us, because they certainly were against Christ. So these wise men come with a purpose, and they also come with presents. They come with their gold and their frankincense and their myrrh, and they were seeking him, they were sacrificing, they were separated from their homeland, and they were coming to worship Christ, the King, there. They brought gold, which was a sign of royalty. They brought frankincense, which speaks of his divinity. And they brought myrrh, which was a plant that was crushed in order to give off the fragrance. There speaks of the suffering of the Lord. So they brought these gifts, and they came to worship the one who was born King of the Jews. And God is doing something. And whenever God is doing something, you can be sure that the old devil, he's going to be doing something as well. Now, the devil is working through Herod. Satan always has people through whom he will work. Sometimes, whenever they are agreeing to it, and they are knowledgeable of what they're doing, and sometimes not. But here we see Herod has an attempt, and first of all, Satan has an attempt to deceive true worshipers. Verses 7 and 8. Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him." You know, and that was a lie, wasn't it? He had no desire to worship the Lord. And people today, they try to worship God in their own way. But the Bible is clear that we must worship him in spirit and truth. And today there are people that are apathetic to the gospel. They don't travel 6 miles to go see what God is doing. Some are hateful and antagonistic to the gospel and are doing everything they can to stamp out the cause of Christ. And that's another thing that Herod was doing. Not only was he there trying to deceive the true worshipers and say, you can worship any way you want. You can worship God in nature. You can live however you want as long as you're sincere. There are a lot of lies out there, aren't there? And Satan is a master liar, a master deceiver, and he wanted to destroy the Christ child. Look at verse 13. It says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and be thou until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And our society today, unfortunately in America, you know, they don't want to just have equal rights and equal say. They want to destroy Christ. That is Satan's goal, and that has been his goal. It was here even when Christ was born, and he wants to accomplish that in America today, and he will accomplish it through any group or any movement or any way he can. Satan will try to destroy a godly nation there. Satan is behind this plot. It's not just Herod, it is Satan. And Satan is behind the plot of many today trying to silence Christians. There, whether it's gag orders from court or whether it's taking a stand for righteousness, we see it today, don't we? They want us to be silenced. We have the answer. Notice it says the word destroy. Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. That Greek word destroy has a prefix in front of it. It means away from. And so that is intensified. It is forceful. They're going to do anything they can with force to stop this Christ child from coming and accomplishing what he wants to do. And don't be surprised when there is force in our nation against the cause of Christ. It was here. Satan is the same today as he was. He still has his plan. God is still in control. I'm thankful for that. And all of the forceful attempts today in our country to remove Christ, whether it's at Christmas time, to remove the crosses, to remove the Ten Commandments. Do you see all of these things happening around us? That is the work of the devil himself working through people. But as we see the wise men coming, what were they doing? They were rejoicing and they were worshiping. And so though all of these things around us, they can become disturbing and discouraging and disappointing, we focus our minds and thoughts on the Christ child, the King of the Jews. It's Him in whom we put our trust. And so here is Joseph facing some difficult times, doing something he didn't know how to do. He needed help, and so do we. And so we see that God is not going to leave him on his own to figure out how to get this child to safety. God is going to send an angel, and God sends an angel to Joseph, and he tells him to flee into Egypt. Verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Warnings. Do you like warnings? Warnings are not intended to harm us, are they? Warnings are intended to protect us there. And so whenever he comes to Joseph, he gives him a warning. But if we sound out the words of Scripture and say, repent, or you're going to perish, that's a warning to let people know that if they die without Christ, they're going to spend eternity in hell. If they continue to go the way that they're going, they're going to be lost for all eternity. It's a warning. And warnings are good. They're intended to help us. And God comes to Joseph and he gives him a warning that he needs to go another way. The last two words in verse 12. Isn't that what Jesus does? He changes our direction. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. And whenever we get saved, we're on the path of sin to hell and destruction. But God turns us around and he sends us another way. And now we're on our way to heaven. And our lives have been changed. And our hearts have been changed. And our thought processes are different. And everything about us becomes different whenever we get saved. And God is sending Joseph on another way. But notice the message he gives to Joseph in verse 13. The angel said, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and be there until I bring thee word. Be there, just wait. And I confess to you that that's not one of my strengths. Waiting. I'm not a very patient person. I don't like to wait there, especially when it's so open-ended as the angel says, I want you to wait until I say so. You just wait on me. And we have to know, as Joseph did, he's going, and he's going when God tells him to go, and now God is saying, Joseph, don't go. You wait. Now, we don't have angels that come to us and appear to us and make it so clear. But God has given us something even better. God has given His Word. God has given His Holy Spirit that lives within us. And whenever we need direction, we go to God's Word. He speaks to us through His Word and His Holy Spirit. Psalm 37, 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And here's Joseph, a good man. And God is directing him and is saying, Joseph, go here. Don't go there. Go this way. Wait right here. The steps of a good man were ordered by the Lord. I'll never forget when I was in college many, many years ago and reading some of D.L. Moody's notes on that passage. And Moody's notes he had written beside the steps of a good man, he had written, and the stops of a good man. And so here, the Lord is telling Joseph, I want you to stop. I want you to wait on me. Until I say so. And may God help me learn to do this as well. To wait on the Lord. To go when He tells us to go. And there may be some danger. There may be Herod after us. There may be others. There may be people that are indifferent. Who don't care about going to Bethlehem 6 miles away. But we go when the Lord says go. We stop when the Lord says stop. And then we see in verse 15 the fulfillment of Scripture. It says that he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And that is a quote from Hosea 11, 1 there. And so God has sent him to Egypt. He's brought him out of Egypt. And nine times in Matthew, you will see that phrase, that it might be fulfilled. Nine times in this book, that it might be fulfilled. Twice it's here in chapter 2. And what God is saying, that all God that he has said will happen, it will happen. God's word will not return void. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God's word will not return void. It will be fulfilled. Well, he stays there to the death of Herod. But the next few verses, Herod hasn't died yet. And it tells us how mad Herod was about this. His anger was so intense that he committed murder. Verse 16. Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children in Bethlehem. We know the story here as this is not oftentimes we see a nativity scene with the baby Jesus. This is about 2 years or so afterwards when they come and worship the Lord. And so he's killing babies 2 years old and under. Can you comprehend that? Can you imagine how evil and wicked and just, I can't even describe someone who would kill all of the babies there. And so they're attempting to kill the Christ child. Why? Because they hated him. This was a hate crime. We hear about that today, don't we? Hate crime. I think all murders are hate crimes. I've never known anybody to commit a murder because he loves someone there. And so here, the world is at enmity with God. The world hates God. God loves the world. God's not at enmity with the world. He loves the world. But here, there's an attempt to kill Jesus. Just as the Bible tells us, just as adultery is a result of lust, murder is a result of hatred. Listen to a few verses. Luke 6:22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and they shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. When we take a stand for righteousness, that's what happens today, isn't it? They call us names. They hate us. They separate from us. They say we're judgmental. They say all kinds of things. John 15:18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So if the world hates us because of our stand for Christ, we're in good company, aren't we? It hated Christ and it crucified him. There, 1 John 3:13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And it's okay if the world hates us. If the world hates us because we take a stand for Christ, the King of the Jews, we make him king of our lives. We make him king of our church there. Herod was angry, and so he commits murder. Also, there's mourning going on. Look at the next verse 17. And then was fulfilled. Here it is again, another scripture fulfilled. That which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. And so this is a quote from Jeremiah, and I have those verses up here for you, pretty much the same as we just read. Here's Rachel, the wife of Jacob, whose name was Israel. And so here she is mourning for the Israelites there. And the next verse in Jeremiah 31, Lord said, refrain thy voice from weeping and let thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. And that's a good promise. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. God has a plan for Israel. God's not finished with Israel. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We know that verse. I will bless them that bless Israel. I will curse them that curse Israel. God has a plan for their nation. Then verse 17 says, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord. Thy children shall come again. And here's Joseph. He's going, he's waiting, he's listening to the Lord through the angel. He doesn't know what's going to happen to his wife, to his to Jesus there. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but he's trusting the Lord. And there's a hope in the end. And we see that in the story of Joseph's family. We see that in our nation as well. There's lamentation, there's weeping, there's great mourning, and they would not be comforted there. The wise men weren't mourning. They were rejoicing because the Christ has come to save the world of their sin. And the last thing we see, God is in control. Notice the move to Israel in verse 19. When Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, said in verse 20, arise and take the young child and his mother, and go unto the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And so he gives some instructions to Joseph, not to Mary. We read about Mary, and Mary was a godly young woman, and she was moral, she was pure, she needed a Savior. When the wise men came, they didn't come to worship Mary, did they? They came and they worshiped the Christ child there. And so here it says, they're dead which sought the young child's life. God is in charge. And these people who wanted to destroy Christ, he may have destroyed others around him. And unless he got saved, that the scriptures don't record for us, before Herod died, you know, he's being judged in hell for that even now and for all eternity there. And so God is in control. He gives these instructions to Joseph there, who is the stepfather. He's the husband. And that's been God's plan, hasn't it? Even though Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus, it's been God's plan for the husband, for the dad, to be the head of the home, to be the priest of the family, to be the leader. And God is speaking to Joseph, not to Mary. And that's what our nation needs today, isn't it? Our nation needs fathers, husbands who are godly men, who will listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and take the position that God has given us as fathers and husbands and be the leader that God has called us to be, even as Joseph was a good man whose steps are ordered by the Lord there. And now he says, move to Galilee. God is talking to him again. But Joseph heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father. And he was a little bit concerned about that. Matter of fact, verse 22 says he was afraid to go there. Don't criticize Joseph because he was afraid to go there. I think I would have been, and you would have been as well. But there's a new king. It's not Herod anymore, his son. But do you know, it doesn't matter who the human king is. It doesn't matter who's reigning in Israel, Herod. It doesn't matter who's sitting in the White House. It matters who's in God's house. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And here it is, another leader. And the prophecy is fulfilled. In verse 23 it says, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which he had spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. Not a Nazarite, not like Samson with the oaths of the Nazarite, but because he was from Nazareth, he was called a Nazarene there. And God has been working. God has been leading. God has been protecting. Here's Joseph with a new family, and he's going to a new location. I think about our founding fathers and how when they left and came to the new land, and how God directed them, and how they looked to God. And they were godly men who took orders from the Lord. And how far we have gone from that today. And so we come to the conclusion. Let's just draw a few applications from this and we'll be finished. First of all, you've seen this saying, especially at Christmas time, and it is so true. Wise men still seek Him. We need to seek God's face, don't we? We need to seek Him for our families, for our church, for our nation, because God is in control. He is King of Kings. He was born not only as King of the Jews, but He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He should be the King of our lives. When we surrender our lives to Him and let Him sit on the throne of our hearts, we're wise men. Then wise men still heed God's warnings. God has given a lot of warnings in the Scriptures, and they're intended to help us, to keep us from harm. And God says that we ought to also give out those warnings to ungodly people. And what happens if they continue in their sinful ways, if they continue to reject Christ, even if they're antagonistic to it, the gospel, like Herod, or if they're indifferent, like the scribes and priests, they're without Christ. They need Christ, and we need to give them the warnings. And even if our warnings are rejected because they think we're being judgmental or they think we're holier than thou, it doesn't matter. We are commanded to give them the gospel of Christ, the only hope of salvation. A third, I think I have five up here, wise men still wait for His timing. Wait on the Lord, I say. Wait on the Lord. And we need to learn to wait for the Lord. Go when He says go. Stop when He says stop. In our families, we need God's guidance, don't we? Bringing up children is an awesome responsibility. It's a wonderful privilege. We can't do it without God's leading us. Number four, wise men still worship by giving. They came and they gave, and Jesus set the example. God so loved the world that He gave. That is a direct result of loving, giving. God so loved that He gave, and we give of our time as well as our treasure. And the last thing we see this morning, wise men, notice these wise men were so much different than those in Jerusalem. They traveled far, they gave much, and they rejoiced along the way, even though there was opposition. Even though they were trying to kill their child, even though they were indifferent to everything around them, they were rejoicing there. And we can rejoice as well. We can look around our nation and we're not blind. We see wickedness all around us. We see a lack of concern for anything righteous and godly. We see a rejection of the Bible. We see God expelled from our schools. We see the Ten Commandments and even crosses. All of those things, we see them wanting to be removed, and we know that Satan is at work. But the good news is, God is at work too. God is working. He is arranging things, and sometimes it's things that we can't see. Like last week when we looked at the genealogy of Christ, we saw that two of the women in the genealogy of chapter 1, they were living during the time of the judges, when every man did that which was right in their own eyes, and it was one of the darkest times in Israel's history, but yet during that time, God was working. And years and years and years later, we saw that He was working. He's working today, and He wants to use us in the work that He has. May we be as wise men who will do whatever necessary to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. Lord, we know that You were rejected. The Bible says that Jesus came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. And Father, we do believe on You. We do trust You. We thank You that You're sovereign, that You're in control of the entire universe. You're in control of our nation. You're in control of all the other nations on the planet Earth. Lord, we thank You that You are omnipotent. You have all power. We thank You that You are omniscient, that You know all things. And Lord, we thank You that You are a compassionate and caring God, and that we can come to You for our needs And you will continue to direct us and guide us, protect us, even as you did Joseph and Mary. Lord, we thank you that you're the same God today that you were then, that you don't change. We thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.